Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real, at Aaron is Blitzed, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show. You know the number for that. You can also watch us on the Twitch channel. And 630 says, think y'all were reading the week 12 schedule, not this upcoming week.
That's what we said next week.
Specifically said next week, not this week. And, of course, right as we say that.
That's crazy, huh? Good timing. Yeah,
Schefter tweets out, NFL has flexed the week 12 Packers 49ers game to Sunday Night Football. So, there you go. You were all over that.
Yeah, I knew it all along.
You knew Schefter was going to tweet that.
I knew it. I had him pegged.
All right, 713-780-ESPN is your number if you want to get in. So there's a bunch of power rankings out there now. I'd be kind of curious how you would power rank the NFL right now.
I can actually pull up my power ratings. Give me just a second.
I didn't give you enough warning. Sorry.
No, you didn't give me enough warning. I'll pull it up. But,
all right. And I'll tell you how different mine are.
Okay. I'm digging through my email. I'm sorry.
Give
me your top few.
I actually have the Ravens number one right now.
Okay.
And, I mean, they beat the Patriots.
Yeah.
You know, the Patriots have the best record. And I think if they play again, the Patriots will beat them. But I think right now, I mean, the way this team is playing, and I'm not giving them too much credit for the Bengals, because frankly, the Bengals and Dolphins games, to me, you can just toss. Those teams were garbage when they played them. Neither one of them was trying. And, you know, a good team's going to beat the hell out of them, and they were trying to pad some stats. But that win over the Patriots is a thing that impresses me, because that was not a close game.
I have Pats 1, Ravens 2.
Okay, so it's not much.
And I know they beat the hell out of them, but it's for the whole season.
No, I get that, but I also think as the season goes on, you have to adjust.
Yeah. But I'm not going to make a massive adjustment based on one data point, is what I'm saying.
Well, I'm not making it based on that one either. Their body of work, especially over the last five games since they got Marcus Peters, I think that makes a difference.
Oh, huge difference. So, and they're healthy now.
Yeah, so that's why. All right, so who do you have as your next few?
I've got Green Bay, San Francisco, New Orleans, Seattle, Minnesota.
Yeah, I have the same order, except I have Packers 6.
Okay.
I basically have it 49ers, Saints, Seahawks, Packers, and then I have Vikings 7.
Okay. Texans 8.
Same as mine.
I've got Cowboys 9.
I still have Chiefs 9.
I have Chiefs 10.
Okay.
So, not too far. I've got Eagles 11, Bills 12, Rams 13, Colts 14, Steelers 15, Panthers 16, Raiders 17. Am I way off?
No, I mean, I have the same, basically, 11 through 16, different order.
Okay.
I have the Colts higher than you. I have the Raiders higher than you.
I have the Chargers 18, Titans 19.
I have it Titans, Chargers.
Okay. Bears 20.
Actually, I have Jaguar 20.
I have Jaguar 21, Lion 22. As I look at these, it's like, why do I have this team so high?
But yeah,
I
remember, but that's getting to my point, though.
I remember what's below them.
Once you
get, I have Tampa 23, and when I think of Tampa out loud, I'm like, oh, they suck, and they're 23.
Yeah.
I've got Cards 24, Broncos 25, Browns 26, Falcons 27, Jets 28, Giants 29, Dolphins 30. Redskins 31, Bengals 32.
Yeah. But really, that was kind of the point, and the reason I wanted to go through that. From 22 down,
it's a disaster.
I mean, none of those teams, if they win, it's because they're playing the other teams.
Yeah.
With the exception of the Falcons, who pulled off the upset.
Really?
And the Dolphins this week.
From 20 down. Like, who did you have? You had Jags at 20?
Yeah.
I had Bears 20. There. Like, those teams aren't good.
No, but I still think those are teams that could run off 4 or 5 wins in a row at some point and not look as bad. I think Nick Foles coming back makes a difference for the Jags. And I'm not ready to admit that the Bears are complete garbage yet.
Boy.
They're not good. I know that. But
and the Lions, I mean, I don't know how long Stafford's out, but as long as the Lions don't have Stafford, they're awful.
You've just got to drop them even more. So, but yeah, I kind of feel like I don't remember there ever being this many teams that just don't have a chance.
Well, I think that if you look at least, God, I'm trying to see how far you have to go up in my rankings. From, if we don't count Stafford, I think you're talking about from number 19 down, there's one quarterback that I think I consider a good quarterback. So let me go through this list. Titans, Bears, Lions, Jags, Bucks, Cardinals, Browns, Broncos, Falcons, Dolphins, Jets, Giants, Skins, Bengals. Matt Ryan's the only good quarterback out of that whole group.
Yeah, well, I don't know whether Nick Foles is a good quarterback or not.
He hasn't played this year.
But he's about to. That's the thing. And I think that makes him better. I know he's better than Gardner Minshew. I know that everybody loves the mustache and the headband and loves to run around like that. But I know he's a better quarterback than that. So we'll see.
But it is a stark drop off. And then 18 up, it's Philip Rivers, Derek Carr, Josh Allen and Mason Rudolph are exceptions, I guess. I don't think either one of them is very good, but I think Jacoby Brissett's good. I think Carson Wentz is good. And Josh Allen is pretty meh. But, I mean, there's a line where if you've got a bad quarterback, this is your ceiling. And it's pretty obvious. And, I mean, I guess it just goes to show how important quarterback is in this league, and that's why all these teams are fighting over quarterbacks, or they've all got brand new rookie quarterbacks who can't do anything yet. But, you know, all those teams we talked about, think about it. Bengals will draft a quarterback this year.
Definitely.
Redskins drafted one last year.
May draft another.
Giants drafted one last year. Jets drafted one 2 years ago. Dolphins are going to draft one this year. The Broncos are going to draft one this year. The Browns just drafted one. The Cardinals just drafted one. The Bucks are going to draft a quarterback. I mean, it's
maybe really, they're talking now about maybe re-signing Winston.
Oh God, that would be such a bad football decision. It really would be. If you don't know now what Jameis Winston is, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, well, and getting a win at home against an Arizona team that gave it to you.
Yeah.
That's suddenly going to make you say, oh.
Now you're like, oh, you know what? We might keep this guy. Okay.
Man, I think people aren't even listening to the show today. Matt Stafford is good. I said
we're not counting Matt Stafford because he's broken right now.
And he may not play again the rest of the year.
He's got a broken back.
And specifically said without him that the Lions were one of the bad teams. Did I miss that? We did say that, right? Okay. I'm not reading any more text because you guys aren't listening.
I mean, I've been more of a pro Matt Stafford guy than anybody.
Yeah. That's two in the last 10 minutes where people just aren't even listening. You tune in, you hear one thing, you're like, oh,
I got a text about that.
And then it turns out, well, if you were actually paying attention. All right. Well, I just kind of wanted to get into that because, I mean, it just feels like there's more of a gap between
good and not good.
Yeah.
Well, there's not a lot of teams that I think are great. You know, even 1-2, like the Patriots and the Ravens. I'm like, yeah, they've got some pretty glaring weaknesses.
They can be beaten.
Certainly. Yeah, well, I mean, the Ravens don't have a passing game. The Patriots, in general, just aren't very good on offense. You know?
No, I mean, they're
good. The Seahawks suck on defense. The 49ers, I mean, we saw with Jimmy Garoppolo last night when the pressure's on, it's like, oh.
Yeah, I think the 49ers are a pretty complete team if Garoppolo's playing at a decent level, and he didn't last night. And that's one of those that concerns me a little bit because I see a little Jared Goff in him.
When he's under pressure, it's like, oh, no.
Yeah, it's like, whoops, yeah. don't touch my face. Don't touch my face. I'm too handsome. Don't break me.
I mean, I'm assuming everybody heard OJ's tweet about Jimmy Garoppolo. OJ doesn't trust Jimmy Garoppolo. He's nervous.
I see.
Around Jimmy Garoppolo. Mm. It's like he's as nervous as you'd be if there was like some guy who showed up at your house with a knife yelling at you, wearing tiny gloves. Make me nervous. Mm. All right, guys, if you own your home and you like money, this is the read for you. I'm going to tell you about it now. TGS Insurance. If you're like me, you don't want to talk to an insurance agent. You don't want to deal with all that nonsense. You don't want to deal with hassle. You don't want to talk. You don't want to negotiate. Nah. TGS, they make it simple. You text a word money to 232323. They ask you for your address. You reply back, and they send you a full quote with excellent coverage within 15 seconds, just like that. This company, these savings, they're legit. The online rating is nearly perfect. The average customer is saving $870 this year, and you don't need to talk to an agent. You don't need to wait until your renewal because they'll take care of the back end for you. They'll get rid of the old guys and get you on with them. Guys, it's so simple, and it's so fast. Text the word money to 232323. Get your home insurance quote and start saving today with my good friends over at TGS Insurance.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. So you have your Buzz Williams interview.
Yeah, we'll talk to Buzz Williams in the next segment. I was just going over that. I told you I had that tweet last night about Clowney.
Yeah.
And I've gotten a lot of response to it. Basically, what I tweeted was, and if you take money aside, take money out of the equation, I understand why the Texans didn't want to pay Jadeveon long term. I don't blame them. They're going to have to take care of Deshaun Watson. They were going to have to pay Laremy Tunsil. But if you could have Jadeveon for the next 5 years, money's not an object. Salary cap's not an object. Jadeveon Clowney or any player on the Texans defense, you can have their production for the next 5 years. Which player would you want?
Well, tell me who the tweeter said.
Well, I've gotten probably 100 tweets on this.
Okay.
So who I'm going to give you the list, the usual suspects that popped up.
Okay. What, Barry and Joel are on there?
No. Oh, okay. No. The two that I've heard, and I'm not poo-pooing completely, because, well, DJ Reader is probably the one that's the safest to me. I do see some promise in that guy. I still don't think that his ceiling is Clowney's ceiling, but I think he's a solid player. If I had to choose, I could only have one of those guys on my team. If I'm an expansion team and I can have one of them for the next 5 years, I'd still take Clowney. But it's not a laughable.
No, that one I'll listen to.
You mentioned Justin Reed.
Maybe. I still don't take him over him right now, but that's at least a name I would listen to. And I'd listen to Whitney Merciless. That's about it.
See, I won't listen to Whitney Merciless. I mean, he's been here. They were there basically the same time. Whitney Merciless had one big year, and it was like, oh, look at Whitney. And then
he's having a really good year this season.
He's been solid. Last year, he did literally nothing. He was a ghost. He was a giant negative last year. That's one thing you can say about Clowney. When he's on the field, he's never been a negative.
In his defense, they weren't playing him in the right position.
That's
because
fair.
He and Clowney play the same position, and he's been pretty good this year back in that role.
Here's some of the other names that I heard, and many of these are absolutely laughable.
Okay, let's hear them.
Zach Cunningham. Zach Cunningham's not a crappy player. He's
solid.
He's fine.
He's solid.
But you'd rather have Zach Cunningham for 5 years than Jadeveon Clowney?
He's got the bull on his jersey, so yeah.
Bernardrick McKinney.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Roby?
Shame.
Oh, yeah, he's been so good this year. Of course, I know he's been out for most of the season.
Big deal, but listen, he's coming back soon, and you know he's going to be great.
He's got that bull on his helmet. That's the
right.
Difference.
How about Charles Omenihu?
Oh, definitely. Texas guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Was he fifth, sixth round pick?
Yeah.
Yeah. Every NFL GM really missed something with him.
Yeah.
The most laughable one, Angelo Blackson. Someone really said, yeah, Angelo Blackson over Jadeveon.
Okay. They you've left off some of the best ones, though. Brandon Dunn.
Oh, no.
Brennan Scarlett.
I didn't get any of those.
Jonathan Joseph.
No. I expected some JJ's, honestly.
Well, for some reason, people think he can still play, which stuns the hell out of me.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who are still there. I call them J.J. Truthers.
Yeah. Now, I think the only guys that I'll listen to an argument on are Reader, Merciless, and Reed, and I don't think I'm taking any one of those guys over.
I don't think I am either.
But
and I get money is a factor.
Yeah.
But guess what's going to happen with Whitney Merciless at the end of this year?
Hey, DJ Reader's got to get paid.
Yeah. So if you think that Whitney Merciless is having a great year, are you going to pay him the money that Clowney wanted? I can't imagine you are.
Yeah. I don't think so.
But who knows? I mean, I don't know what they're paying Nick Martin money like he's a player. So
yeah, that's the thing.
It all boils down to, are you on Bill O'Brien's good side? Are you one of his boys? And if you are, you can get the money. If not, you're out of town.
Somebody says, easy to wish Clowney was here after JJ got hurt. We were saying this at the time, man. This is not anything new. So
whatever you think about paying
It was easy to say it at the time, too, by the way.
Yeah, would I rather have Jadeveon Clowney this year or a ham sandwich and Barkevious Mingo? There was never a discussion of what the Texans would be better, even if Jadeveon held out the first six games. What did Barkevious do for you those first six games? Nothing.
He mingoed
around.
Oh, man.
But, and everybody's like, well, he didn't want to re-sign. Who cares? That's what the franchise... Yeah, the franchise tag on him to say, we don't care if you want to re-sign. You're playing for us.
I think that, and I said this all along, if you're all in, that's why the move for Tunsil didn't make a ton of sense to me. If you're going to go all in to get an offensive tackle, which I was fine with, but then not keep Clowney, I don't get the point. I mean, you were going all in for this season, weren't you?
Yeah.
So keep him this season, tag him again, and trade him next year, and you'll get more value for him. Speaking of value, how'd you like to get your hair back? And, guys, I got to tell you, I was in a spot where it was either time to shave it all or it was time to get something done. And I looked into a bunch of stuff, and none of it felt right. And then I went and visited my friend Dr. Linville. And he explained to me how his procedure works. He extracts individual follicles from the back of your head and transplants them to where you're thinning. Can even redraw your hairline. The NeoGraft procedure is basically your own hair, and it's just moving it to a different place on your head. And it was awesome. And the reason I went for it, he did it himself. His hair looks great. Man, I'm already seeing the difference. I guarantee you in about a month or so, it's going to be fantastic. It's already getting there. And how about this? If you're on the fence and you just want to find out what it's all about, you can get a free consultation. Just go to 975hair.com. Listen to what he has to say. Listen to what the procedure is. And I promise you, it's going to make a difference in your life. You're going to feel better. You're going to feel more confident. You're going to look better. Go to 975hair.com. Set up your free consultation today. Get your hair back.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
I am joined now by head coach of the Texas A&M men's basketball program, Coach Buzz Williams. Coach, your team's 2-0. How's that feel?
Thankful. We could have easily lost both of them. We were down 8 at half last night and had to fight really hard just to have a chance to win down the stretch. So we're thankful to be 2-0.
I know when I talked to you a couple weeks ago before the season got underway, you seemed a little bit nervous about where the offense was going to come from your team. And obviously that kind of reared its head last night. Are you feeling any better about it, or do you feel like it's going to take you a couple games into the season to really get into a flow?
No, I just typical coach. I think I'm nervous about all of it. How are we going to score? How are we going to stop teams from scoring? I don't think that there's any one person that's going to be able to plug the gap for us on either side of the ball. I think it'll be both of it. It'll be on both sides of the ball. We're going to need everybody to do their job.
When you play a team like UL Monroe, those are the kind of teams I know as a coach you probably feel like you should have at least a physical advantage over. Is it frustrating to be out-rebounded by a team that's playing at a smaller level than Texas A&M?
No, sir. They're really good. Every team we play will be really good. And respectfully stating it, regardless of what level everybody perceives us to be or perceives Monroe to be, we'll have to be at our absolute best to have a chance to win any game. Not Monroe, not Gonzaga, not Northwestern State. Troy is going to be better than Monroe. And so we'll have to be at our best in order to have a chance.
Well, one of the number that jumps out at me on the positive side for you guys after last night is you forced 20 turnovers. Do you think that's a matter of something they were doing or a matter of what you guys were doing defensively?
Maybe a little bit of both. You know, our first shot field goal percentage defense has been really good both games. Our turnover rate is of concern. We had 23 turnovers in our exhibition game. We had 14 turnovers against Northwestern. We had 13 turnovers last night. So we're improving. But because of the value of each offensive possession for us and how we're going to have to find ways to score, the one thing that we have to make sure we do is get a shot. And we can't play perfect and we won't play perfect. But having a high turnover rate offensively does not trend towards us having opportunities to score. We've done a really good job of getting to the line. We made a much higher percentage in game one than we did game two. I think that's more of an aberration. I don't think that we're necessarily one of the better free throw shooting teams in the country, but I think our numbers will bear out to be better than they were last night. Defensively, both games we forced the opponent to shoot more than 50% of their shots from three, which is very, very good. That's partly how our defense is designed. Because we play so high on the floor, I think we will force, since we've been playing this defensively prior to here, we do force teams to a higher turnover rate than they are accustomed to. The thing we've got to figure out, AJ, is when the shot goes up, can we finish the possession with a rebound? Both games, our first shot field goal percentage defense is in the 20% range, which is very, very good. The issue is game one, when Northwestern missed, I think they missed 48 shots and they got 19 of them. So they offensive rebounded 40% of their missed shots. That is really bad. That's as bad as there would be in the country. Last night, I think they missed 32 shots and rebounded 11 of them. So we got the percentage down. I think that's maybe 31 or 32%. We've got to get that number in the 20s. And we've just got to continue to find ways relative to what we watch on tape, our technique in regards to how we do it, and then the ability to actually do it. When a team misses, we've got to be able to finish the possession with the rebound. I think those are the two things that we'll probably talk the most about is our ability to finish the possession with the rebound defensively, and then offensively, our ability to get a shot every possession.
One of the guys I think may be impactful for you as far as the physicality is concerned, rebounding and defense, is Josh Nebo, who came back last night. What did he provide for your team that was different from the first game?
Well, it was as loud as I've heard Reed. I know it's a short sample size, but everybody was excited that he was able to play again. He's been out a long stretch. He's been out since the first Monday in the last week of September. And he was able to, he was healthy enough to play against Northwestern State. I just did not feel that he had enough reps, in what we were doing offensively and defensively, because he missed everything. He missed boot camp. He missed training camp. And he missed, I guess, the first 17 practices. And so I wanted to make sure that he had confidence when he went on the floor. But I also wanted to make sure that he knew what we were doing. And so I thought he gave us a spark of energy. Obviously, he gives us great athleticism. He gives us a body with experience inside. And he was really important in the second half, along with during that stretch when we were playing from behind. We were able to get a shot every possession. And they got no offensive rebounds during that stretch, which was what was able to swing it back in our favor.
Last night, when it seemed like things were sort of getting out of control early in the second half, J.J. Chandler comes up with a couple big shots. And really, when you look at his night overall, he was ultra efficient, and he came up with some shots in key moments. Is that something you expect to get from him throughout the season? Is he going to be one of your guys that when things are not going great, he's a guy that you can count on?
Well, you know, in game number one, J.J. had 5 turnovers and Savion had 4. And that was 9 of our 14 turnovers. Last night, Savion had 5 turnovers and J.J. only had 1. Both of those guys are really, really good people. They are trying to do everything we're asking them to do with the right intent of heart, with the right attitude, with the right body language. I've known both of those kids long before I got to Texas A&M. What we need from them is we need them individually to be very good. And that's important, and that is a prerequisite to us having a chance. Maybe what's even just as important, in my opinion, is we need those two guys who are our primary ball handlers, who are making decisions probably at a higher rate with the ball than anybody else in our program. We need those two guys to not only do their job per se, but part of their job responsibility is we need those two guys to help the other three guys on the floor. We need them to make the game easier for those kids. And when they do that, our team improves. When they're not doing their job, it'll be hard for us to have a chance to win. And when they're not making the game easier for the three kids on the floor with them, we'll have a hard chance to win. And so we've got to continue to get their turnover rate as low as possible, because we're still going to turn the ball over. We just can't have 50% of our turnovers or more coming from those two guys, even though they're touching the ball more or as much as anybody. J.J. made the corner three. That was a big shot. That was an assisted basket from Dre, which was great. And then he made the three right in front of our bench on the wing, which was a big shot. But that stretch when J.J. was initiating offense and basically J.J. or Savion had the ball in their hand and was making a play for themselves or for one of us, that was the stretch, and there were no turnovers in that stretch. And we've got to figure out, forget the play, we've got to figure out how to help them make the right play for longer consecutive stretches.
One of the things that surprised me, and I'm not trying to kiss your ass or anything, but you know, Texas A&M basketball has been in some pretty, you know, meh territory for a while, and they get the sort of the dream hire and you coach. And were you surprised that the crowd last night was as sparse as it was?
Yeah, somebody asked me about that after the game. I don't know. You know, I haven't been here in 15 years. I can't speak to that. And I went on a long diatribe. You can probably find it on social media somewhere, so this is probably not the forum to do that again. There's so many things, whether you have a big crowd, a small crowd, a sparse crowd, or capacity crowd. There's so many things on the priority list as a new coach, as a new staff, as a new team. You know, we only have 11 guys on scholarship, and 5 of those guys are freshmen. And so whether they're freshmen or whether they're returning, relative to each day, it's a new day. It's a new day, whether it's practice, it's a new day, whether it's game, it's a new day, whether we're in the film room, because the foundation that we're trying to establish requires on a daily basis a very high level of energy. And I need to be accountable to some degree, in my opinion, for if there's a bunch of people in the crowd or if there's nobody in the crowd. And I'm not saying I'm right, and I'm not saying any of it with the wrong tone of voice. I have not made it my highest priority to get a bunch of people in the stands. I think in business, whether it's college athletics, whether it's the shoe store that you buy your shoes from, the best business is return business. And I think the only way that you have return business is when the people that are, quote, buying your product or giving their effort, their time, their treasure to supporting you is when in their heart that's what they want to do. And so I don't have a problem, passing out donuts. I don't have a problem, like, sending a mass email or putting on Twitter, we need your help, we need your support. I get all of that. I didn't get a degree in marketing, but I kind of understand the principle behind it. But for me, I want people that want to be there. And if that's 500 people, thank you very much for coming. If that's 5,000 people, we appreciate you coming. And if you can't make it, it's no problem. Because my priority, this is my opinion as a coach, my priority is if I sent my son to play for a coach, I would want that coaching staff to be completely committed to the development, the total development of my son on and off the floor. And I wouldn't mind if my coach encouraged people to come to a game, but I would be more passionate about him helping my son develop. And so I feel like from a priority standpoint, AJ, I got to make sure that I can look at the moms and the dads in our program and go, I've given all I have to give every single day to help your son grow as the future husband and the future father and the future worker he's going to be. And we've used basketball as a microcosm to teach them how to do those things. And if along the way we win some games, maybe more people will come. And if we lose some games, I'll get fired. And I'm okay with that as long as when I'm really old and I'm not a coach, I feel like I'm done right by those I'm charged to lead. And I've been through this before, and that doesn't mean I have all the answers. But normally, when you work really hard and you try to go about things in the right way and you do it in an unselfish way, people typically support that. And maybe it takes time, and maybe we will have a groundswell of support as things happen. But when Twitter or social media says, man, I can't believe y'all almost got beat by Louisiana Monroe, that doesn't help. But if you were there and you saw what transpired and we were down 8 and we won by 14 in the second half, I think if you were just looking at the product, you would respect how hard our guys played and that we tried to play with great energy and that we tried to play the right way. And so maybe in my second career, I'll get involved in marketing and try to sell tickets. But right now, I think I got to do everything I can to help us try to win the next game.
Well, last one before we let you go, Coach. A team that has not played the toughest competition, but has absolutely looked like they were playing lesser competition so far is Gonzaga. And that's who's next on deck for you. And they're actually playing tonight. I'm sure you'll be watching that. But what do you see from this Gonzaga team? What impresses them about you? And what do you think you guys will have to do right to stay competitive with one of the top 10 teams in the country?
Mark Few will be in the Hall of Fame while he's still employed, which is a rarity in any profession. I think they're good enough to win the national championship. They're a perennial. I think it's 20 or 21 years in a row they've been to the NCAA tournament. He has done a phenomenal job. Their team, from a talent perspective, is built as well as anybody in the country. We will have to be at our absolute best every possession on both ends just to have a chance. They do play today. They played 2 guarantee games, as you mentioned, from the SWAC thus far. So I haven't been able to study them completely without sounding condescending. I needed to study the SWAC team that Louisiana Monroe played so we would have a chance to beat Louisiana Monroe. So we will get going in earnest once we close down. Later today, we'll close down yesterday's game. And then tomorrow will be 2-day prep, what we call it. Thursday will be 1-day prep, what we call it. And then obviously Friday will be game day. So if you look at our stretch, Monroe was better than Northwestern State. And I mean that respectfully. Gonzaga is drastically better than Monroe. Troy is better than Monroe. And then we play Harvard after Troy. And depending on if Harvard gets 2 of their players back, Harvard is top 30, top 35 team. And then we potentially are going to play Maryland, who's another top 10 team. And then when we get back from Orlando a week later, we play Texas at a neutral site. So it doesn't get any easier. And as important as the scouting report is on the opponent, how we improve on our game per se may be just as important, because we need to have a crescendo to how we're improving on defense and offense.
All right, that's Coach Buzz Williams, coach of the Texas A&M Aggies. Good luck against Gonzaga. Hopefully, win or lose, hopefully your team learns some things from it, and it helps you get ready for the SEC schedule. And appreciate you taking the time with me again this morning, Coach.
Yes, sir. Have a great day.
All right, thank you. We'll talk to you next week.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Join us and the usual suspects out at Red's Ice House in Beaumont this Friday from 1 to 7 p.m. We'll have Miller Coors and food specials all day, so come start your weekend early and grab a Miller or Coors Light with us this Friday, November 15th from 1 to 7 p.m. So a couple of really cool things going on. If you're anywhere near North Houston, come out and do the barrel select with us at Whitmire's on Thursday. And if you're in Beaumont, come see us on Friday. So we'll be out a couple of times this week.
That's right. We're busy folks.
That is indeed the case. All right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The gem of the day. It's the gem of the day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right, this one is an interesting question. Let's say you have been convicted of first-degree murder.
Oh, I hate when that happens.
Back in 1997, and sentenced to life in prison.
Would they have tried me as an adult then?
Probably, yeah. You murdered somebody in 97. You were sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole.
Okay, that seems unfair for a 16-year-old, but...
Well, you know, you shouldn't have killed the person.
Okay.
But then you get rushed to a penitentiary hospital... suffering from large kidney stones.
I also hate when that happens.
Yeah, they develop into septic poisoning. And you have a DNR, a do not resuscitate.
Okay.
I'm getting to the Jon Snow defense here. But basically, Benjamin Schreiber alleges that his heart stopped five times. He was unconscious when he arrived at the hospital. He was revived five times during the emergency trip. Once he arrived at the hospitals, doctors administered resuscitation fluids, and it saved his life. However, he filed a lawsuit that alleges he should be freed from prison because he served his life sentence. He claims that he had the DNR, meaning he did not want to receive resuscitation or any other life-saving measures. So he died, and then they brought him back.
Seems like he's got a case,
they
right?
They were explicitly told not to revive him if he died. But he underwent surgery to replace the damage. Soon enough, he was healthy enough to be brought back to the pen to finish his life sentence. But his legal team claims that his
life sentence should be over.
Yeah. So, just like Jon Snow was able to leave the Night's Watch.
Yeah. I mean, he's got a case.
Well, the case has been thrown out.
What?
Yeah, they...
God, the law is always so black and white, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. The first court
said
it was
Dave?
Unpersuasive and without merit. Which I'm like, oh, I kind of feel persuaded. But the judge added that he is either still alive, in which case he must remain in prison, or is actually dead, in which case this appeal is moot.
Yeah. That is.
But they didn't address the do not resuscitate. I'm saying if you go and say, hey, don't resuscitate me, and then you do, you brought me back to
that's
life.
That's on you.
Yeah.
I was trying to be out of this thing.
I'm kind of Team Benjamin here. I think that lawsuit had a little merit, despite what the judge said. But they claim he wasn't actually declared dead.
Okay.
So, okay, fair. But, I don't know, man. I feel like if Jon Snow can get out of the Night's Watch, this guy should be out of prison.
Yeah.
So here's the question. Say they did let him go. Do they put that bill for all the medical bills on him, or do they pass it on to the taxpayer because he was still...
Taxpayers pay that.
Oh, yeah, we're paying that.
Because he was still in prison.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know, man. I think it's an interesting ethical question. At what point are you dead? When you're not breathing and there's no brain activity? Well, now, to be fair, a lot of us won't have brain activity.
Right.
I mean, I don't have brain activity today.
Not much.
But, okay, so if that happened to you, and not that you're a killer. Let's go back to you being A.J. Hoffman, radio superstar.
Right. Really nice guy.
And, well, I don't know about that, but, you know.
Relatively nice guy.
Program director. If you
and I mean, at least kind of a nice guy.
You're kind of a dickweed, but that's okay. Fine. But let's say this happens to you, and they revive you. Does that mean you're out of your contract with Gal Media?
I don't know.
I'm just curious.
I lean to yes.
So, I don't know. Somebody says no death certificate, no death. Boy, I think you're being a little bit harsh. If the guy's not breathing and he's dead, I kind of feel like...
Let that man die.
Yeah. Either let him die, and if you bring him back, well, he's already been dead.
That's right.
So his life sentence should be up.
I'm with you.
But that's your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right. I kind of felt that was interesting. Like last week I had about four that I wanted to get to, and that was one of them, and I just never did. And I got, I have one that I'll probably not get to this week about a mom having sex with both of her daughter's boyfriends, and they were underage.
Man, what a hoe.
I mean,
I'm not judging, but that's hoe behavior.
Well, I mean, maybe.
I
don't know about hoe, but it's not ideal.
Yeah, that's not nice.
So...
Be better, Mom.
And then the other one, I figured you would appreciate because we've had a lot of Disney princess talk on this show, where a convicted sex offender groped a Disney World cast member dressed as Princess Ariel, according to police who arrested
him. Where were you
man.
That night, Fred?
Hey, this guy
is... What's your alibi?
Yeah, well, it was November 6th, so I was in Houston.
Okay.
And, I mean, this was at the Magic Kingdom.
Not
and this guy is 51 years old. I am not 51 years old.
Okay. I'll let you make
it. I would never grope a mermaid.
Oh, sure you wouldn't.
Not without permission.
Please.
Come on, man. And a couple things. Somebody asked, any thoughts on Colin Kaepernick getting a workout? No. If he signs with somebody.
I'll have some thoughts.
So, somebody says, my luck is I'd have two life sentences. Yeah, what if you've got the consecutive life sentences?
Oh, that's the worst.
Then that would really suck. Aren't we supposed to do Lawyer Dave right here anyway? Well, let's do it now. So, Dave, just quick
question. Yes.
Yeah, so, like, if I die, then does that end my life sentence if I come back to life?
Oh, that's a very interesting question. But in order to die, as one of the texters pointed out, there has to be a declaration of death by a medical person. Usually they wait till about 5 minutes after someone's life support signs are all zeros before they declare them legally dead. So this guy didn't, fortunately or unfortunately, didn't meet the standard.
See, I think I could die for 5 minutes if I was getting out of a life sentence. I think I could pull that off.
Well, yeah, that's... That's some darn clever legal reasoning, and I'm sort of on AJ's side with this one. And I think they should let the lawsuit go forward and let the jury decide whether or not this guy was legally dead or not.
All right. Well, let me ask you about some real stuff. I can't tell you how many people the last week have just either sent me emails or tweeted at me. It's like, hey, how do I get in touch with Dave? And I was in a car accident. And I'm having problems with my insurance company, and I send them to you, and what do?
We help those folks out. Any of the blitzers that need a hand, we'll give them a hand. If they just need legal advice, we'll give them that. If they've been in a wreck and they need medical help and they don't have any money, we'll arrange for them to get the medical assistance they need without any money up front.
Yeah, you don't charge a dime until they win, right?
That's right. We all win together, and we put up the money. To file the suits, prosecute the lawsuits, and when we win, we split the money according to the contract, and everybody gets happy.
And you don't charge for your consultation, so if somebody has just a general legal question, they can call you and ask it, and if it's not something you do, you'll put them with the right person, and if it is something you do, then you'll work it out with them.
That's exactly right. I got an email from a blitzer, a lady blitzer last week, where she was attacked by a kid in a classroom. She's a teacher and wanted to know how she could deal with that because schools have all kinds of different rules.
So I was able to look it up, give her the right answer, and help her out. But in those occasions where I don't know what the question's about, I've got loads of people over 30-plus years of doing this I can send them to.
All right. Tell people how they can get in touch with you. There's all kinds of ways to do it.
You bet. 713-626-8900 is our phone, which is supposedly answered 24 hours a day. Or LawyerDave.com or LawyerDaveLaw is my Twitter handle. Or always, Mr. Reliable Fred Fowler, get through me. Get to me that way.
Yeah, you going to come out Thursday and have some whiskey with us at Whitmire's?
You're damn right I am.
All right. Well, if they need a lawyer before then, what do?
They better dial Dave.
All right.